Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk, episode number 69. Hello, everybody. I'm Gabe Jones. This is a show that's by the fans, for the fans. Just like you, I'm a fan of Christian music. And today, oh my goodness gracious, we have got a great show for you. Striper's Michael Sweet joins us today. Kind of have to pinch myself. This is crazy. Michael Sweet will join us later on in the show. It's been a great month. It's August, so I guess it's a new month. But the last show we had Eddie DeGarmo, another Christian music veteran. And now we've got Michael Sweet. Two great shows back to back. Michael Sweet was probably more on the mainstream side of Christian rock. Both Eddie DeGarmo and Michael Sweet saw some airplay on MTV. But Michael Sweet probably more so saw that backlash from the conservative Christian church. And, you know, that has not changed because this last record entitled Goddamn Evil saw a lot of backlash from Christian music fans and actually some mainstream sellers as well that actually pulled the record from their shelves and said, we're not going to sell this here. But anyway, we talked with Michael Sweet about that, and we're excited to let you guys listen to that. It's just so fun to get to speak with these artists that we grew up listening to. In the last two shows, that you know, in those instances, our parents listened to it, and that's kind of how we heard this music that we love so much today, that we've grown up listening to. And it's just such a joy to get to pick these artists' brains and kind of go back in time with them and see what they were thinking when music was coming out back in the day and the backlash and kind of what they think about it today. It's just crazy. We're so thankful that we get to do this, and we're so thankful that you're listening. If you would like to join our team, you can join our team at patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. For as low as $1 a month, you can help keep this show on the air. Keep this show on the air with great guests like Eddie DeGarmo and Michael Sweet, these last two shows. That is because of the support from you guys that have helped keep our show on the air. For as low as $1 a month, you can join our team and do that at patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. We would love to have you join our team and keep the show on the air. If you'd like to do a one-time donation instead of the monthly thing, you can go to decentchristiantalk.com and donate to us with your PayPal account. There's a donate button on the right-hand side of the page, and you can go find that on decentchristiantalk.com. We've added a couple things on the Patreon page, besides getting the usual shout-outs on the podcast. You could also be eligible for some bonus episodes and also get to chat with us and maybe even get to pick a topic of discussion for us for a future episode. So go check that out at patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. We would love to have you. We would love to continue to put these shows out for you. We had such a great response with the Eddie DeGarmo show. We had over 1,000 people listen to that show. And that's crazy. Bunch of small town boys from West Virginia putting out a show like this that you so many people get to listen to. That's such a... We're humbled by that. And... we just would just love to continue to do that, and hopefully, you know, this show is even that and much, much more with Michael Sweet. But we are not going to talk very much more because this interview is It's fun. You just need to go listen to it right now. And without further ado, here is our interview with Stripers, Michael Sweet.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
So we're here to talk about your new record. It's called Goddamn Evil. It's got kind of a catchy name to it. What was the reasoning behind this album title?
Well, it had come up a few years back, and we weren't 100% comfortable with it at that time. And we felt like this was the perfect opportunity to use such a title because of everything that's taking place in our society. We do see a lot of evil escalated, and it seems to go to new levels and new heights and things that we never thought we would see in our lifetime we're seeing. So we felt like it was a really good opportunity to make such a bold statement, to make people think. You know, it's supposed to make you think. And it's also supposed to tear down walls, you know, the stereotype of that, of those words together. People automatically assume that it's blasphemous or it's a swear or the wrong way to use it, and it's really not.
Right.
You know, if it's a request, which is what it is from us, asking God to damn evil, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So, you know, it's more so a reminder to people to pray. More is really all that it is.
You talked about some of the evils and some of the things that we didn't think we'd ever see. What are some of those things that kind of triggered this title?
Well, the Las Vegas shooting certainly was one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, did any of us ever, if you had, explained that scenario to people, most people would have said, there's no way that'll ever happen. Or that could happen.
Yeah.
And it did. Obviously, you go back in time, even as far back as 9/11, and, you know, did we ever think we would see in our lifetime planes flying into the, World Trade Centers, and bringing them down? Mm. You know, so you go from that period, you know, of course, there's, you know, you go back to the most evil events ever to take place, obviously, you know, World War II, Hitler, and the annihilation of so many Jewish people is as evil as it gets. It doesn't get any more evil than that. But, you know, just it seems that the events that we see now, the school shootings, just on a constant basis, it almost feels and seems like it's daily. And just this evil that, you know, although there's a lot of good in the world and good people in the world, it just seems that there's this blanket of evil over us. And that's why it's an important time for people to get on their knees and pray and ask God to condemn it, to damn it.
Yeah, this is an unfortunate question I've asked a couple bands, but has Striper talked about what would we do if one of these things happened at our shows?
Well, I mean, you know, it's something that I'm sure goes through everybody's minds, not just guys in bands like myself and at a show, but, you know, people traveling on airplanes, people going out to major events, outside and inside and wherever there's gatherings of large people. Those are targets to these crazy, evil people that have something wrong in their brain. There's just something missing, something that's wrong, and they want to go out and they want to hurt people. And it comes down to it's as simple as it's the word evil. And a lot of people would argue that and say, well, no, it's a chemical imbalance. It's the way they were raised. It's this. It's that. Yes, it is. But that all circles back to evil. Mm. It really does.
Yeah.
It just does. And, the only solution is love and you know, agape love, God's love. You know, God, the Bible has all the answers in it for us. The problem is we just never look to it to find them. Mm-hmm. And they're all there.
Yep. You talked about the controversial title, and unfortunately we saw that Walmart and some other Christian distributors decided not to carry the title. You've been fighting against this, it seems like, your whole career. Does this ever kind of get old, or, I mean, does it get annoying, or does it just, are you just used to it by now?
Yeah, a little bit of both. You know, we are used to it, but it does get frustrating, you know, because the reason why it gets frustrating is because I feel that it kind of limits what we're trying to do and holds us back to, you know, reaching more people and getting the music and the message out there to more people. So that is frustrating. Mm. But, you know, it's nothing new. It's been taking place from the very beginning when we first started. We've had resistance for whatever reason. We had it from Christian bookstores in 1984. We had it from mainstream record stores in 84 and 85. We had it from MTV in 85 and 86. And you know, it's never ending.
Is it? Do you find it ironic that a lot of these places, like MTV and like Walmart, that has like pornographic images and films that are not appropriate, this is what they choose not to carry?
Yeah, it's a double standard joke. It really is.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny, actually. It's not funny, but it's pretty disgusting, actually. It's not just the case with Walmart. It's the case with many people. It's that double standard mentality where they allow this, but they don't allow that. Hmm. And this is worse than that. And you just sit there scratching your head thinking, what in the world?
Yeah.
You know, we see that in politics. We see that in items that we buy. It's so many different things. We see that on television, in the movies that we watch. It's a double standard. Mm. You know, they won't allow something. They won't allow, you know, something that pertains to, you know, this might be a bad example, but it probably a true example. They won't allow something that is Christian-based, or they paint a Christian out to be a complete moron, a whack job. But then there's something else in the movie that is allowed, and you're just sitting there thinking, wow, you know, Hollywood's trying to shove something down our throats. We're going to accept it whether we want to or not, yet they won't have, you know, they try to remove the Christianity or God or, you know, I see that all the time. I look for those things in movies, and I see it constantly. Hmm. How often have you seen a movie, a Hollywood-based or produced movie, where a Christian is painted out to be a complete whack job?
Right.
Like every time.
Yeah.
Every single time. You know, they're always the whack job, and that's the picture they paint. So, anyway, regardless, it's just the world that we live in.
Right.
It's the way it is, and there's nothing we can do about it except to pray and to stay strong and persevere. And to love one another. And, you know, hopefully in the end, love's going to conquer all. I don't think hopefully. I think it will.
Yeah. A lot of the themes that Stryper has sang about over the years is one of spiritual warfare. And I think
right.
You guys do a really good job of that. But how much of that warfare seems to be against each other, against the church itself that's fighting against us for spreading this message?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, you see it. I think you see that more often in the church, you know, and I'll kind of take a little bit of a right turn here, you know, in terms of the lack of agape love, you know, people being asked to leave the church that should be invited into the church and accepted with open arms and loved through their ordeal or their situation. You know, I've seen that in churches that I've attended myself. It's a tough world out there, and sometimes it's tougher in the church.
Hmm. Definitely. So getting back to the record, I guess before we get into it, do you find it frustrating that you just released maybe the best album of your career and this is what people talk about with you guys?
Yeah, it is frustrating. They're either talking about the title or they're talking about the first song we released, and which if people are talking, that's not a bad thing. But, you know, it's such a simple explanation, and we've done that. We've given that. And for some reason, a handful of people don't want to accept that, of what our meaning is by using the title. You know, God damn evil, what do we mean by it? What do the lyrics say? You know, read the lyrics.
Right.
There's a concept, you know. Start there. Start with the lyrics. Read them. Then make your assessment and make your judgment and make up your mind whether, you know, we're meaning it as a swear or blasphemy, or we're meaning it as a prayer and glory to God. And that's what our lyrics, and that's what the title is to us. It's a prayer, and it's glory to God, not blasphemy or, you know, anything other than that.
Yeah, so like I said, I do think it is arguably the best release of your career. How do you guys keep doing this? I mean, it's been since the 80s that you guys have been putting out music. How do you guys continue to maintain that great sound? You haven't, like, quote-unquote sold out with your sound, but you're still putting out this great music. How much of an effort and how important is that to you?
Well, it's very important to us. And, you know, I'm really just speaking for myself. I'm very, very driven person, and I'm a perfectionist, and I have OCD. I got that from my dad, and I was diagnosed with ADHD. The H stands for hyper, so I've learned. And, you know, I think a combination of all those things really helps me. You would think that it would hinder me, but it helps me to stay focused and get the job done. And, you know, that could be taken away at any time. You know, the well, as they say, could dry up. But I feel like in the past 10 years, God's been pouring a river into the well, you know, and it's overflowing. And all these ideas keep coming, and all these songs keep coming, and it seems to get easier and easier to write a record. You know, back in 10 years ago, it might have taken me a few months to write a record. Now it takes me a few weeks. And it just comes really quickly. Some people say, you're not spending enough time on the songs. And it's like, I don't spend any more time than I have to. So in other words, if I start on a song and it comes together in 2 hours and I feel good about it, I go with that. I don't sit there and dissect it and tear it apart and try to spend another 2 or 3 days on the song. I go with what I feel. Same thing, you know, flip that coin. And if I'm working on a song for 2 or 3 hours and I'm not feeling it, I will shelf it and move on to another song. That happens as well. But the albums seem to be coming very quickly these days. You know, a song every 3 or 4 hours. And then I'll stretch my back and start on a new song. And within a few weeks, this last album was not quite 10 days that the songs were written. And, you know, it's just the way it works for me these days. And I'm very thankful for that. I think it's a gift. And I think God's blessed me with those abilities. And I'm very thankful for that. You know, I pray that he never takes that away. And you know, that I'm able to do that for the remainder of my life anyway, and continue to crank out the really solid albums, solo, Striper, or other groups. And so far, so good. So I thank God for it.
Do you approach the songs any differently? I know you've done solo albums, like you just said. Do you approach them differently when you're doing them as a solo project to Striper? Obviously, you do musically, but how about lyrically?
Yeah, I don't. It's the same process. I sit down, you know, I start with the riff, you know, a 4-bar riff or what have you. And then I'll program a drum loop to go with that riff, and I'll sit and I'll play that riff to that drum loop for maybe 10 or 15 minutes and fine-tune the kick pattern until it feels perfect. All the little accents are there between the riff and the loop. And then once I have that, I start piecing together the song. Mm. So I'll go into my program that I use. It's called Easy Drummer. And with that loop that I created, I'll drag it down, and it'll automatically find me similar feeling intros, verses, bridges, choruses, fills, and outros. And I'll go through all those that it suggested. You know, there might be 5, 6, 7, 8 of each. And I'll go through, and I'll pick the one that I like the most, and I'll drag that down into the song, and I'll create a song. Mm. You know, and then I'll cut and paste and add more verses and choruses until there's a complete 4.5 minute song. And then once I have that, that's, you know, 75% there, I'll go through each pattern and I'll fine tune those patterns. So I can add kicks to it. I can add snares to it. And I can kind of make it my own. And those accents and in those patterns. And then once I'm about, after about another half hour to an hour of that, we're at about 2 hours now. I'll start going through and playing along to it and figuring out all the chord changes and the melodies. And there's another half hour. That's pretty quick. And then I'm already, as I'm working on that, working on lyrics. So I've already got like 50% of the lyrics done, and I'll take the other hour and work on the lyrics, and then I've got the song. Mm. It's a pretty quick process. And once I have the song about 95% there, over the next few days, I'll tweak things. You know, I'll do edits, or I'll change lyrics, or I'll, you know, fine-tune things to the point where when the guys come out, it's 100% there. And I'll play it for them, and they'll go, wow, really dig this. This is cool, man. It's a very natural process for me. It's kind of like, hate to use the old cliche, like riding a bike. That's not even a good cliche, but it's like anything else that I do in my day, you know, like whatever it is that I have down, a certain way I have down of doing things, that's the same way. It applies to that.
Mm. Well, telling you a little bit about my story, I'm 32 years old. When I was a freshman in college, I got a CD sampler at a college bookstore. I think I was in 2005, and it had Reborn on it from Striper. And I think that was the first music you guys released in like 25 years or whatever. Why did you guys decide to after all that long time? There's a big story about why you guys stopped making music. Why did you guys decide to come back and release music in the last decade or so?
Well, you know, I left the band in 1992, and I took a lot of heat for that. There were a lot of fans that were very upset, and I understand. I get that. But there were a lot of fans that understood as well. Now I think most fans understand because I've written a book about it and I've explained why in depth. I had to leave to get my life in order and to get my family in order. I felt like my priorities were completely out of whack. The band was coming above everything. Things were going on within the band that I was not proud of with all individuals, all four of us. And, you know, but I had to focus on myself and get my life in order. So I felt the only way to do that, and it took me a while to make this decision, was to leave. Mm. To leave and not look back. And right when I left, I didn't do music. I just focused on my family. Walking my kids to school, going to class projects, spending time with my wife and my kids, and getting that in order, because that's a priority above Striper. Mm. And as it should be. And so I started there, and once I was working on that for a few years, or close to a few years, I felt like God was, and as did my wife, I felt like God was kind of working on me to start getting involved in music again. So I started writing. I wound up signing a deal and releasing an album in 1994. And it did really well, you know, that solo career, if you will, really took off. And I did that for quite a while, on and off, from 1994 all the way up to 1998. Then I took some more time off. We moved, and I got back involved in music in 2000. And that's when I was in contact with Oz again, pretty much quite often. We spoke, and you know, people started talking to me about what if Stryper got together, blah, blah, blah. And the thought started crossing my mind about the possibility of that. Although there was no way I was ever going to let that take precedence over my family and my life. Right. And, you know, so I wound up eventually I was working on an album, Reborn. That was a solo album. And I was shopping it, and I had a deal in place. I had labels that were interested. They were going to sign that, and they loved it. And wound up going and doing a show. You know, I'm fast forwarding. We had done the 2003 tour. It was a one-off tour, Stryper, and that was going to be it. But I wound up going and doing another show and playing Reborn for the guys, and they loved it. You know, and I remember Oz specifically saying, wow, man, this would be a cool Stryper album, you know, and that thought process started rolling, and eventually it became a Stryper album, and it was released in 2005. And it was just all to connect the dots, you know, all the things, one thing led to another, and in time I started feeling like maybe I was supposed to do Stryper again. And then here I am, 2018, we've been going longer than we did the first time. Mm-hmm. We've got a new bass player. We've got peace within the band and such a good spirit within the band. And we're excited again about making music and performing. So we're going to keep, you know, following that.
Mm-hmm. What do you
and going with that?
What do you hope Stryper's legacy will be when people look back at all of the albums that you guys have put out?
Well, I mean, I think, I hope the most important part is that, you know, lives have been changed. The music is cool. You know, the music is the tool. But in the end, at the end of the day, what really matters, that's what's different about Stryper versus any other rock band. You know, with any other rock band, what you take with you is the music.
Right.
And the memories from that music. You don't really take with you, in most cases, some cases, yes, but you don't take with you a life-changing experience. You know, I think with Stryper, that's the difference, is because of our message and our faith in God, a lot of times people want that same thing. And, you know, they might be suicidal or on drugs or, you know, addicts, alcoholics, the marriage breaking up, going through divorce, and they heard Stryper or talked to Stryper and turned their lives around. Hmm. And started reading the Bible and going to church and got based into that and got, you know, set, planted their seeds in that, not the music, but in that. And that's the difference between Stryper and most other bands. So that's the legacy, is lives being changed through the message and through a faith, a deep faith in God versus just the songs. The songs are great. The songs are icing on the cake, but the cake is, you know, a relationship with Christ. Mm.
If you could get into a time machine and go back to the 80s, right before you guys broke into the business, what would you tell yourself?
Well, I mean, I would, there are regrets in my life. So I would certainly, if I could go back in time, knowing what I know now, I would purposely take different roads and paths to avoid the mistakes that I've made. Mm. And the things that have caused me, pain and brought me pain and or altered my life in a bad way. I would change those things. Mm. I'm not gonna name those things right now and make people go, what? But, yeah, if people knew what those things are or were, they would go, what? but, you know, I do have a few. I don't have many. I don't have many regrets, but I do have a few regrets. Mm. But yet, at the same time, I look at where we're at right now as a band and what we're doing right now. And all the things that we have faced and gone through, and the mountains we've had to climb, and the valleys we've had to, you know, get stuck in, and I think, wow, God's really blessed us, and we have such a great opportunity right now with what God's given us, with the four guys, Perry, Oz, Robert, and myself, and we've come through a lot. We've been through a lot. We've come through a lot, and you know we're going to do a lot more, and that's what I'm excited about.
When are you guys going to go on tour with Fozzy?
Oh man, I don't know. We've talked about it.
That would be great.
Yeah, they're great guys, man. Obviously, everybody knows I'm a good friend of Chris, yeah. Jericho's. Rich Ward as well, though. Rich is an amazing guy. I don't know the other guys as well as them, but, you know, Rich comes to our shows whenever we go to Atlanta, and he's a solid brother, man. He's really amazing. And Chris is as well. You know, Chris has always been so supportive of everything we do. And, you know, he's a fan of us, and we're a fan of his. And, man, they're just good people. So that would be a fun tour for sure. It would be a great tour.
Yeah, I'd love to see you two on the stage together. That'd be a lot of charisma on one stage.
Well, maybe that day will come, and I don't see why it can't.
I agree. Hey, man, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Love the album. I'm so excited about what the future holds for you guys.
All right, brother. I appreciate it too, man.
Thank you, man.
God bless you.
That was our interview with Striper's Michael Sweet. Man, I'd just love to thank Mike for hanging out and talking, shooting the breeze with me and talking with about so many topics about the current record that he just released with Striper. Just kind of the differences between, or I guess the similarities between the way that he's written music, both as a member of Striper and as a solo artist. Just kind of looking back on the career and seeing the legacy that he has and talking about, you know, just, I don't know, some things that he's learned across that journey. It's so much fun to talk with those seasoned artists and man, this was so much fun. You know, we talked about Eddie DeGarmo scratching an interview off the bucket list. This was yet another one that I scratched off the bucket list. Talking with Michael Sweet. That was so much fun, and man, we just would absolutely love if you would continue to join us listening to these shows. You can find us on, if you're new to the show, which I know a lot of you are, you can check us out on iTunes. You can subscribe to us on there. Hey man, if you've been listening to these last couple shows and you like what you hear, give us a nice review on there. And our favorite thing that you guys do is share it with a friend. Share it on social media, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You know, if you're just even texting somebody, we would greatly appreciate that. And yeah, like I said, give us a nice review on iTunes or on Google Play if you're an Android user. We're also on SoundCloud and YouTube. Of course, you can find all our podcasts on decentchristiantalk.com. You can subscribe to us on there, and so every time we post, you get a notification in your email address letting you know that we have posted a new show, and that is completely free to you, and that's a fun way for us to connect with you. Of course, we're also on Facebook, the Decent Christian Talk fan page, and the Decent Christian Talk podcast group discussion. We've been posting some great, great interactive things on there that you guys can hang out with us. We're also on Twitter, DC Talk Act 2, and Instagram on DC Talk Podcast. Hey, I keep on forgetting to say this, but we're also on Spotify, DCT Podcast. You can find us on there. We're going to be posting some playlists pretty soon. Since we've been kind of throwing it back with these last few episodes, we're going to be doing some throwback playlists with artists like the Garmon Key and Striper. And, you know, we're just going to keep it going. In season 3 has just been so much fun starting out. We had Holland on the first episode of season 3, Eddie DeGarmo, and then Michael Sweet. It's been a great start to season 3. The first 3 episodes have been killer. We've got a lot more in store for you guys, so make sure you check us out. Subscribe to us wherever you listen to us. And once again, please share the podcast with a friend. We would greatly appreciate that. And hey, if you like what you hear, consider supporting us on Patreon or through PayPal and DecentChristianTalk.com. Hey guys, we will check you out next time. Peace.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.